famous story, parable on the Good Samaritan. There's many ways you can look at the Good Samaritan parable. I'm just going to take one bent to it. So let's turn to Luke 10, verse 25 and 37. Luke 10, verse 25 to 37 together. Who's ever been hurt in church? Anyone ever been hurt in church? Anyone ever experienced a pastor or a leader saying the wrong thing to you and hurting you? Hope it wasn't me, Maria. No, not guilty at all. I'm free. Oh, we'll talk about it after. But the Good Samaritan story. And so often we lean the bent towards who's my neighbor. But I wanted to lean it more towards the issue with the certain man. The certain man. That certain man can be any man or woman. The certain man. There's a certain man. There's a certain priest. There's the Levite. Then there's the Samaritan. Anyway, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37 says this. Where's my glasses, darling? Can you grab me my glasses? Yeah. Thanks. Thank you. 35 to 37. So then behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He's a lawyer of the law. He knew the law. He knew well the law. He knew exactly what the law was speaking about. He wasn't a man that was unlearned. He was very learned. He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" Jesus answered the question with a question. What is your understanding of this law, of the law? So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." In other words, you will love God with everything, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This was a revelation all by itself for Jesus to hear that a lawyer of the law could get the two most valuable commandments out of the rest of the law. Because there was many commandments. And he said to him, Jesus, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." He answered, because he wanted to justify himself, said, "And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered him and said, "A certain man," say with me, "a certain man, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Jerusalem literally means peace. The holy city of God means peace. He went down from Jerusalem, and literally it is down towards Jerusalem, down towards Jericho. He went from the city of God to Jericho. You got to understand, Jericho was a place where they did business. Jericho was a place that a lot of things happened. It wasn't a very good city, but it was a city of commerce. It was a city where people went to do business. It was a city where people enjoyed life. One of those types of cities. And fell among thieves and stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Oh, no. The thieves didn't kill him fully. Then he killed him to half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road to Jericho. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Say with me, the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion. A Samaritan had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He took care of him. So he went to him, on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, which is like a half a shekel, and said to him, take care of him. Now, he was taking care of him. Then you give that ownership to someone else to take care of him. Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come. Say, when I come. When I come, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, the lawyer, go and do likewise. This parable has so many bents to it. You could go down so many paths. But I want to talk about the certain man. Just the certain man. The man was on a journey of going down. He was on his way down. And things happen when you allow yourself to go on a journey to go down. Because Jesus calls you where? Up. Things happen to us when we allow ourselves to go on a journey down. This certain man was leaving the city of God, the presence of God, the peace of God, to go down somewhere where he thought that would be better than where he was. Jericho literally means fragrance, desiring, longing, alluring. He thought the grass was greener on the other side. I don't know what happened to this man to make him feel that he had to go down. But whatever happened, happened. And sometimes when we choose to go down, things happen. In this instance, he fell. He fell. And usually if you're on the path down, you will always experience some type of fall in your life. He went down, he fell. He fell into the wrong company. He fell into a bad situation. He fell in with people that he shouldn't have fell in with because he took a journey down. You'll notice in the Old Testament when Isaac went down, Abraham went down. You'll notice that God had to intervene for Isaac. But you notice for Abraham, he never spoke to him until he came back up. Certain things happen when people go down. This man went down and he fell. He fell because the thief will cause you to fall. When you're on the way down, and what will happen is the thieves will cause you to fall and cause you to think the things you shouldn't be thinking. It'll cause you to touch the things you shouldn't be touching and doing the things you shouldn't be doing. He fell amongst the thieves on this road. It's a treacherous road. It's a dangerous road full of thieves hoping to catch the vulnerable on their way down. Anyone ever went down? I think all of us can put our hands up. We've all had an experience where we've went down. Anyone experienced a fall when they've been down? Things ain't happening the way they should be happening. First thing these thieves do is strip the certain man. They stripped him. They stripped him of his dignity. They strip him of his worth. They strip him of his covering. And that's what the world does. That's what the enemy does. He'll strip you. He'll try and strip you of your identity. He'll try and strip you of the thought or the knowing that God loves you to a point where you think, God doesn't love you. Oh, you have to earn that love, or you've got to do something to gain back that love. And it's all too hard. So you're being stripped slowly in your mind, in your emotions, that church and people in church don't love you. God don't love you. And because you've gone to a place where you've went down. stripped him of his covering, stripped him of making him vulnerable, weakened and shamed him, exposing him to others what was once covered and hidden. Because that's what the devil does. He wants to hang out your laundry. My Bible says in Christ there's no condemnation. But what the devil wants to do is condemn you. So he'll try and hang out your dirty washing. He wants to strip you. He wants to make you naked and ashamed. The thief doesn't want the man going down to recover, be clothed. He wants him to stay vulnerable. He wants him to stay ashamed. And if we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes, just sometimes in life, especially if you've been in Christendom as long as me, you've been in that place. You've been in that place of vulnerability. You've been in that place of where someone said something and the devil's exposed you and you're not in the right place where you should be, and people start talking about it and people start thinking about it and people start whispering about it. Because even though church is supposed to be where the love of God flows freely, it can also be one of the meanest places on earth. Can I have a little whisper of amen? Because people are just people. Amen? The thief had uncovered him, then inflicted his, that had inflicted a wound. He wounded him. It says he uncovered him, then he inflicted wounds upon the man. I want you to recognize the order. He uncovered him. He got into his psyche. He got into his mindset. He got into a place of vulnerability in his head, thinking people don't love and God doesn't love and what I've done is too great to forgive and what I've done is too great to come back to church. Whatever it is, he played with that mindset and then he set up a system. Once he had stripped him, then he wounded him. He can't really wound me unless he strips me. Because if I'm secure in the knowledge of God, I expect attacks. But when I'm insecure and I've been stripped, he can wound me. He can wound me. There's a scripture I remember years ago years ago it came to me. Ecclesiastes 10 and 20 says this: don't whisper on your bed about a king. Who's kings and priests? We are. It says, let a bird of the air pick up the words and tell of the matter. So what happens? Devils are waiting for loose lips. Devils are waiting for loose lips. So when you think what is in private stays in private, but all of a sudden the birds of the air are waiting to feast on the matter. Amen. This thief had been uncovered and had inflicted wounds upon him. The thief is not content enough just to strip him. This certain man, the thief now wants him half dead. Half dead. Didn't want him fully dead yet. He wanted him half dead. Why did he want him half dead? Dead enough so he can't move, but alive enough so he can still hear and feel and see. Dead enough so he can't move. Stuck. I've met Christians that have been stuck because they're so set in their past, in their mind, so wounded in their heart, in their soul, they can't move. Yet quick enough to hear any complaint or any other thing that's going on in church life or folks' life that it hurts. Dead enough so the certain man is not able to move, but alive enough to see, hear, and where help should come from, it doesn't arrive. Where the help should come from, doesn't arrive. Undoubtedly, he saw the priest. Undoubtedly, he saw the priest because the priest had to walk on the other side. He was in his path. the priest, the man of God, the woman of God, the one that represents God. Anyone ever been hurt by the priest? The priest walks on the other side. The Levite, the servant of the house, sees him. He walks on the other side. Sometimes when you're in such need and you see people walk on the other side because it looks all too hard, what does the other side look like? That other side where we say it's all too hard. The other side where it's too much, don't ask too much of me. The other side, I've paid the price, I've been there, done that. I'm not going to do it again. That other side. That other side where you say and justify, well, I'll just leave that to someone else. And we'll leave that man, that certain man, half dead. Not just wounded externally, but now wounded internally. Because those who should have cared don't care. Because they're so caught up in getting down to Jerusalem, getting down to Jericho. The dilemma was, if this man kept a mindset of this priest and this Levite thinking they should have done more. Why didn't they help me? Why didn't they do something for me? You know, they're called, he has an anointing, you know, he serves in the house. Why haven't they helped me? But you see, the certain man had to get a revelation that the priest and the Levite were going in the same direction as him. They were going down. They were going down. And I want to echo this quite loud this morning. No person is exempt from the fragrance of going down. Whether you're a pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, apostle, person of encouragement, it doesn't matter what you are, who you are, the title doesn't stop you going down. Everyone is open to the fragrance of going down. The dilemma of those who have been going down and been wounded is they blame a man. They should have. But it wasn't the man that wounded him. It was the thief. Are you with me? It was the thief that wounded him. The man ignored him, but it was the thief that wounded him. And that brings into context that scripture, we fight not flesh and... because everyone's open to the fragrance of going down. A title will not save anyone. A call will not save anyone. No one is exempt from the pull of the fragrance of going down. No certain man, no priest, no Levite is exempt. We are all subject, are vulnerable to the fragrance of going down. Every one of us, and may I say it like this, every one of us are just a decision away of going down. If a certain man is not careful, he can be caught up blaming the priest, blaming the Levite. That's the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. But when the certain man gets a hold of himself and realizes God will make room and make a way. Turn the next one, son. But a certain Samaritan saw him on his way. A Samaritan saw him. No one of title, no one of rapport, a Samaritan man. In fact, one hated by one that hates the Jews and one that the Jews hated them. Doesn't say in which way this man was going, but his actions exposed something that he must have been going up. Because he was moved by what? Compassion. He was moved by compassion. This compassion passed the prejudice, the hate, the years or the centuries even of opposition towards one another. It surpassed all that. He stepped over all the feelings, all the ill, and had compassion on someone who should have been the last person he should have had compassion with. This Samaritan is a picture of both Christ and his people. He helped him. The Bible says that he got a bandage and he bandaged his wounds. He stopped the hemorrhaging. He poured in the oil and the wine, which is a type of the Spirit, to heal and to seal. And our mouths should be full of the oil and the wine to heal and to seal. Words of the Spirit that bring forth faith, hope, and love. This certain man was damaged enough. He was already on his way down. Now he's getting something against the house. And this Samaritan man jumped over every hurdle, didn't listen to a complaint, just did what he needed to do to get the man up. Next one, my boy. Jesus said this: "When I come back to you, I will repay you." But he did something in between time. He picked him up and he put him on his beast. In other words, he didn't just show compassion. He now allowed what was his to be used to help the broken. Can my compassion be more than just words? But can it be what God has given me to help another get to where he needs to get to? He took him to an inn. He allowed him to be on the beast. He walked, took him to the inn. Jesus says to the innkeeper, "Here is 2 denarii. Now you look after him." You know, that's exactly what the church is for. Jesus comes and intervenes on the road of people's lives, the broken, the hurt, the backslidden, because that's exactly who this certain man is. He's a backslider. And when the thief has robbed him, wounded him, pulled him apart, God comes, ministers to the wound like only God can. Pours in the oil and the wine to heal and to seal. Then he brings him to a place and gives a commission to those of his and says, "Now you look after him. And if it costs you any more than this, if it costs you any more than what I've already done for you," hello? The two denarii is equivalent to half a shekel. I think it's in Exodus 30 or Deuteronomy 22, somewhere like that. The half a shekel is the price of atonement. He paid to atone him. You can't pay that, and I can't pay that. Jesus pays that.
But then he might need ministering more than that. He might need things coming out of your mouth to build him up with faith, hope, and love. And it might cost you to invest in a person's life. And as you invest, and here's another thing that some people get really upset about. Well, you don't know what I've poured into that person. You don't know what I've done for that person. And look what they've done. They've just left me. They've moved on. They're not my friend anymore. That is not the attitude that Jesus wants. Jesus wants you to invest. He says, and when I come back, I will repay you. I will reward you. Your reward is not from them. Your reward is from me. All I've asked you to do is take care of them. You are, and I am, that innkeeper. Jesus brings people to you into my life. Some of them are so broken and bruised, battered and used. Some by priests and some by Levites. And they don't want church. Anyone knows anyone like that? You can keep the church. I've heard that a lot. You can keep the church. I say them to this. I say, someone might have hurt you. A man or a woman probably has hurt you. I says, can you name once where Jesus has hurt you? And they can't. Because they put the blame on a man instead of a spirit. And so you bring back that thought pattern. You wash them with the oil and the wine and you get their minds refreshed and renewed so they can see, yes, people will let me down. People can actually damage you and hurt you. But God is there to lift you up. God is there to make sure you're looked after in the hour of your need. Amen. And you and I are not to be stuck half dead on a beaten track. He wants to bring you into a place where you're cared for and loved. So the system might let you down, but he will never let you down. And if you're the innkeeper, hello Christian, you are his innkeeper, and he's saying to you, will you look after this one for me? Will you look after this one for me and not be worried about the cost? Will you not cross over the other side? Will you be one that's going up against the flow? Will you be one that will be able to jump over your hurdles of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, whatever it is, and able to minister to the one in need? And use your resources to take them to the next level. And not get upset when they might move on. And not say, well, thank you very much. They might even move on back down. But as long as you know you've done your best. Hallelujah. When he comes back, glory to God, he'll come back with a reward. Amen. You are his innkeepers. There are certain men still in church, wounded, stripped, still in church. Church will not save them. They need a touch from the Master. And they cannot lay blame for their pain on someone. Don't get me wrong. It's not that there's without consequence. There is. But they are not the cause of my problem. A devil wounded him. A thief wounded him. He was stripped and he was wounded because he chose to go down. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Good Samaritan is a good innkeeper. A Good Samaritan isn't waiting to be paid from the person that's been placed in the inn. The reward is with the man that's coming back. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? There is so many people wounded, stripped. Once in Jerusalem, spirit, torment, spiritually. Once in that place of Jerusalem, that place of peace with God, something happened. On their road to Jericho, no one is exempt from the fragrance of Jericho. No one. What I've got to do is make sure I'm not the one that's crossing on the other side. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Glory to God. Hello, innkeepers. Are you ready to minister to the broken, the bruised, the lame? The other side is so tempting when they crossed over. Oh, I don't want to get too involved. Oh, no, I've done my bit. Well, I'll leave that to someone else. When God, or the Good Samaritan, has brought him to your inn. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but more than ever before, I think the church is going to be in a place of revival. He wants to revive some people to that first love experience. He wants to revive them back to that first love experience so they remember that you and I too were on that road, broken, bruised, battered, wounded, stripped, until he found me and restored my soul. Hallelujah. And more so now than ever before, the church needs her innkeepers to reach out. Say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Glory to God. Is that you this morning? I was remembering when I was preparing this, I had to tick some things off my list because I had done some of those things that the priest and the Levite had done. I crossed over because of convenience. I had crossed over because someone else can help them. I had crossed over because it was all a bit much. I'm being raw. I'm being open. But I do know one thing. I'm not the only one. But I had to turn around and say, Lord, My house is your inn. Bring him in. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. That good Samaritan saved your life. He paid a price for me, a price I could not pay. He then had the courage to say, you look after him. Is there any innkeepers here this morning? If you want that, you God to use you in that way, you just raise your hand and say, Lord, number one, forgive me for crossing the other side. Forgive me. Forgive me. Father, help me to be the innkeeper you require me to be, to see these broken, these bruised, these lost, these backslidden, these sons and these daughters of yours who the thief has wounded, to restore their souls back into that place with you. Help us. Father, let our mouths be wells of the oil and the wine. Father, in Jesus' name, to touch those who need a touch, that they might see the Christ in us, a hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Use us as a church, Father. Bring them in, that we might minister to them, and they might see, Father, it wasn't you. And Lord, give them the grace to forgive. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I really believe we're in the days where you're going to see more and more people broken, bruised, battered than ever before. But there is a city of refuge in the midst of it all. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week, great week. In Jesus' name, amen.